Magic Johnson. Not saying that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, but you're seeing a similar trajectory of star power that matters in the echelon of the women's basketball overall.
Janae on Greeny, draft coverage 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. NFL, Eagles and receiver Devontae Smith agreed to a three-year extension, tying him to the team through the 2028 season. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports deals worth $75 million, $51 million guaranteed. Eagles also exercise his fifth-year option for 2025. NBA Suns guard Grayson Allen agreed to a four-year, $70 million deal.
Hey, it's your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Kennedy. Coming up Tuesday, I'll tell you the draft prospects that I believe are no doubt future All-Pros. It's Unsportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Whoa, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Bulls and Hawks are the 9-10. 76ers Heat, the 7-8 in Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference, the Kings are 9-10. The Pelicans are 7-8 with the Lakers. Hour number three, off and running. Hour two was brought to you by Chris's Pavings. ChrisPaving.com is the way to go check out. If you have a driveway, a parking lot, any overlays, you need asphalt, you need concrete, that's what they do. They're professionals. Give them a call. Go check them out online, chrispaving.com. As we move on to hour number three, Pelicans dropping the game to the Lakers yesterday. We've spoken a lot about this game. Here's where we are, though. Right? We can talk about what we saw yesterday, why we saw yesterday. I thought my conversation with Will Guillory was pretty solid. And that he felt kind of, I did as well. And we can talk about why we feel this way. But because I do think it is a very real thing where I feel people are disappointed that the Pelicans are in the play-in. At the same time, as Will said, they win yesterday. It's a 50-win season for only the second time in franchise history. Now, that maybe doesn't say that they've won a lot of games, the futility behind it and all of that. And look, if you take care of business, Spurs, the two games you got swept by Utah at Utah, showed up against some of the teams that you played here as well. Don't go 1-5 in a 6-game homestand in the final week of the season. Look, there's a lot. You just need to win one more game before yesterday. And then yesterday wouldn't have been the way it was. That said, this is where you are. Lakers and Pelicans tomorrow play in game 6:30 TNT. There are still some people that believe the Pels lose tomorrow, the season is over. That is not true. If they can't beat the Lakers tomorrow, they will play on Friday in the late game for the 8th seed. The Pelicans have two chances to get into the first round. So, you can look at it and say it stinks they're there. That said, as CJ McCollum said, you did play and earn yourself the right here to be able to take care of home court and move on into the next round, right? Look, he was asked yesterday about the fact that they played yesterday their third game in 4 days while the Lakers played their second game in 5 days. That other game they played, Memphis, a 45-minute flight. Pelicans didn't get home till just before 10 p.m. on Saturday due to plane issues and late leaving San Francisco Saturday and then played a 2:30 game. Will Guillory bring it up in our conversation? They didn't have shoot around yesterday. So they showed up, played a game against a well-rested Laker team. Anyway, CJ was asked about it.
I don't know. How do you feel after that road trip? There you go. No excuses. We didn't play well enough to win tonight. So we'll be better in the next game. But it was a good road trip. We was able to get 4 wins in a row, which is nice. And now we got to take care of home court.
And that's what I'm bringing up. Look, I do think it affected maybe the start of that game. There's no doubt. That said, you didn't play as well as you could. And the Lakers just had a better game plan. By the way, the Pelicans and Lakers winner, as we said, will take on the Denver Nuggets. They're the 2 seed. The Thunder get the 1 seed. Youngest team ever to do that. T-Wolves are 3. The Pelicans-Lakers will be in the side of the bracket that also has the winner of the Timberwolves and Suns. So whoever beats the Nuggets, or if the Nuggets move on and win, they will play the winner of the Timberwolves and Suns. On the other side of the bracket, you got the Thunder against the 8 seed, which could be all four teams. It could be the Pelicans. Or if not, the rest of the bracket has the Clippers and the Mavs. So, the Thunder could face, literally, the Pels, the Lakers, the Warriors, or the Kings. And that game will be Friday at late to decide the 8th seed. But the Pelicans this week enter tomorrow's game being able to be the 7th or the 8th, or having their season end. If they can't do the thing that they struggle to, win at home. Both of these games will be at home. Not only tomorrow, but Friday here as well.
A sense of urgency, understanding what we're playing for, and going out together like we've done the past few games and bringing it from start to finish.
That's what Willie Green said to the question of what's the key for tomorrow and the thing that disappointed him on yesterday.
Well, number one, we have to come back with the right mentality, and they were the aggressors. We have to be the aggressive team. We have to be the more physical team. We got to keep them out of our paint and make them take contested shots and rebound the ball and all things that we didn't do for a sustainable amount of time. And then we got to take care of the ball, 19 turnovers. We have been doing a great job offensively of taking care of the ball. We come back tonight, or today rather, and, you know, they score 27 points off our turnovers. That's another factor.
Now, Zion had 12 points in the game, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, almost a triple-double. But 4-13 from the floor, and from the get-go, very first play. Did you see it? He was guarded by LeBron. Very first play. Next play, LeBron and AD. They just kept throwing those two guys at him at the very beginning. They were face guarding or having somebody follow CJ McCollum from the get-go. Their defensive game plan was on point, and it was purposeful. That's what they did. They made sure to take those two guys that have been playing really well as of late completely out of the game or make it much harder for them. And I thought the Pels had a time adjusting to what the Lakers were doing in that aspect of it.
They were physical on them. They were physical. They packed the paint. And when they're doing that, we have to trust each other. You got to trust getting off the ball. The next guy's driving, kicking, and now the dominoes fall. But that initial drive, with a good defensive team, they're in there. They're packing the paint. Davis is there shadowing him. We didn't do a good job of adjusting to that.
All right. Here's Zion on his offense.
I think I was just being too passive, if I'm being honest. I don't think I was super aggressive the whole game. And like I said, when I go back and watch film, I'll be able to break it down more.
One of the other things that was apparent, Lakers showed up yesterday wanting to attack the paint. Maybe it's because the Pels have been playing small balls of late, and maybe they thought they can attack that. Now, the Lakers, before yesterday, were one of the top teams in the NBA at scoring in the paint. That is what they do. They're not a three-point shooting team. They do attack the paint, so that is what they do. But you saw it yesterday. You had somebody on the baseline kind of attacking, somebody driving and dishing. It was always two or three passes, but it was a barrage of the Pels getting demolished in the paint. There's no other way to put it. I'm putting it mildly. They give up 50 of the Lakers' 70 first half points in the paint. It was a 50-12 or 50-14 differential. I think it was 50-12 at halftime. 50 out of 70. In the paint.
I think it was a combination. Turnovers, they got in transition, some lobs, some dunks, some slips, some backdoor cuts, a little combination of everything.
Yeah, you get a bucket, you get a dunk, everybody gets a dunk. It was like Oprah giving away cars. Everybody was having fun. That was CJ McCollum here, Zion.
They got whatever they wanted in the paint. They dominated us in the paint tonight.
Yeah, and that, you know, as you just said, the points in the paint battle really lopsided at halftime. I mean, what do you feel like some of the adjustments y'all got to make going into Tuesday to kind of fix that?
I go back and watch film so we can really break down the details and we'll regroup as a team.
Yeah. Willie Green on the points in the paint. What do you think of that?
That's a determining factor. When teams get in your paint, they're physical, they're driving the ball. We don't have rotations down. That's a determining factor that shows you the physicality that they played with. And the lack of physicality that we played with.
A little bit more as to why it's such a challenge.
I mean, they're really good with pick and rolls, pocket pass, Davis getting behind the defense or catching it, and they got cutting. So it's something that we, you know, we'll look at on film and get back to work tomorrow. We got this team again. So tough loss for us. We know what the deal was. They came out, they were the aggressors, and when you're the aggressive team, things go your way. And they had us on our heels all game.
800-998-1003 in the Ruderman Can Hotline. D, what you got for us today, sir?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
How are you?
First off, before I throw Willie Green under the bus, you need to throw David Griffin and them under the bus. I mean, you had an opportunity. They said at the beginning of the year that if they needed to win, if they needed to get to where they wanted to get to, they were going to take the luxury tax. Well, they didn't do that. They stayed pat. Okay, and it's going to cost them because they don't have the guy they need to stop some of the teams that they need to stop. Now, again, the worst decision they made was having Willie Green just have Larry Nance in the game. I mean, do you realize if you watch the game, nobody was guarding that Larry Nance? No one. So they can always sit there and wait for Zion to get in the paint or do whatever he's got to do. It's like he's non-existent. I'm not throwing that Larry Nance under the bus because he's a good player and I like him on our team, but he's only a necessity when you need him. JV can't guard AD. We know this. He really can't. But you know what AD has to do when JV's in the game? He's got to guard JV. And that opens it up for Zion. And there's two things JV does that Larry Nance can't do. Score and rebound. Larry Nance is more of a he's more of a wait for the trash man to come out and then makes his play. And that's a good thing, but that's not what you can use when you need to guard AD. Now, again, like I said, AD, he'll destroy JV, but JV's going to get his, and he's going to have to watch. He's going to have to guard him. And that helps the rest of the team. When Z is in the game and you need to spread it out, well, how can you spread it out when you got Dyson Daniels and Larry Nance in the game? Now, Dyson's been playing really good, and I like him, and he's been shooting pretty good.
Right.
He's really not a shooter. He's not a shooter. And Larry Nance is not a shooter. At least JV, man, when he stands back there by himself, man, he'll make a three-pointer. He'll at least make AD have to guard him. Watch the difference when Larry Nance is in the game. And again, he serves his purpose, but he's not serving it well when they play a two-man game, okay? And that's what they're doing. It's either AD and LeBron, or it's LeBron and the white guy, whatever his name is. Okay, and that's how they plan it, and we can't stop it because you don't have the proper people to stop it. But you know how you stop it? You spread it out, and you start shooting. And guess what? Their inside game cannot deal with our outside game because they really don't have an outside game. This is something that Memphis did last week. If you watch the game, they had nobody in the game, but they outshot the Lakers and almost beat them. But we're way better of a shooting team than Memphis is. So I don't know what Willie Green is doing, especially at home, but he better change it, and he better keep that big dude in the middle. No matter if he gets beat on the pick and roll or not, he's going to give you more than Larry Nance Kim. That's just facts, brother. That's just facts. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you so much, D. Appreciate the phone call. Quick break. We come back. Marlon Favorite will join us. Spring game for the LSU Tigers was Saturday. What did he take away from it? I'll ask him next on ESPN New Orleans.
Sale going on now with over 200 new Toyotas to choose from. Check it out. Like the all-new redesigned 2024 Toyota Tacoma and the Grand Highlander. And also, you get 0% financing currently available with the 2024 Toyota Tundra. And remember, every new Toyota comes with 2 years free maintenance. Visit GregLeBlancToyota.com or stop by 220 South Hollywood Road to save big, big on your next vehicle. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop kayak and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1920. 26 Airline Drive in Metairie.
It's the Thank You Mowing Festival, April 19th through the 21st. The whole family will enjoy 3 days of food and fun extravaganza. You'll find great Cajun food, live music, dancing, games, and carnival rides. Kicking off the festival Friday night is Epic, followed by Kings of Leon. Saturday lineup will be Pacula, Freddy Rodriguez, and Charts in December. Ending with Contra Flow. Opening act Sunday, Ted Dunn and JT Bourgeois Band. 3 days of fun at La Fête du Monde Festival under the Foose Paris Pavilion, 3484 Highway 1 in Lakeland.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Disposal jammed? Can't fix it? You know who can?
Rudiman can! Rudiman can! Rudiman can! 262-8222! 262-8222!
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. The Rudiman can. Guest line. Where Marlon Favre joins us. That Big Fave 504 is the way to give a follow. Over on X, Inside the Trenches, the podcast live. Over on YouTube and right here on ESPN New Orleans. Marlon, how are you, sir?
Hello, somebody. Man, all is well. Gus enjoying this beautiful day. Getting ready to do a Uptown Sports Show tonight, 3218, for the live remote right show on ESPN 6 days, man. So I'm loving it, brother.
I'm loving it too, man. I tell you what, I think the fans loved Saturday. You couldn't have asked for better weather. I had a couple of friends post some pictures, took their kids out there, took some pictures with Mike the Tiger, not in the cage, of course, but just outside the cage. But it looked like it was well attended. It was interesting. I was eating lunch Saturday, and I saw the Ohio State game on national television, their spring game. But look, it was an interesting and important spring for LSU. But what do you make of Brian Kelly, I wouldn't say harshly, but being very, I guess, open about how he felt about what his team looks like at this point in the spring, good and bad?
Well, that's something I think Coach Kelly has been doing an exceptional job with us in the media, just being very transparent. And you could see it in the spring ball. It was a couple of missed assignments on defense. That offensive line looks really good. So the fact that Coach Kelly is willing to be candid with the local media and to keep us abreast of the team, the good and the bad, that shows a lot about, for one, like I mentioned, his transparency, but two, just to give us that look that we need to know going into the season, like what areas need to improve, what areas look good, and continue to get better, and I think that's the biggest thing we took from this spring game.
All right, so you mentioned it right there here as well. I remember listening to Matt Moscona open up his show last week, and after one of the days, it was a scrimmage, and he was pretty blatant where he said the defensive line, Marlon, got blown away by that offensive line. So it's kind of one of those things like when you go to a practice in training camp, right, Marlon? Like when you go to the Saints, is the offense really good or is the defense really bad? You know, when one side of the football does well and vice versa. I don't know. So what do you make of it? You played on that side of the football. You know the issues that the Tigers had on defense last year. A whole new defensive staff is in that spot. Start up front, to your point, where are they? And what, I don't know, what did you think of it?
I think they're in the process where they're developing right now. You have a new coaching staff that's coming with an entirely different style of play. And then you have young guys that have to try to catch on. You have offensive linemen moving over to the D-line. Now, you did say something. The offensive line is really that good. Like, even both groups, you look at even a young man like Christian Stamp rotating in with the tools. He was a walk-on. Ashton Stamp's older brother getting his shine on. So it's across the board, Coach Brad Davis is doing an excellent job, but, you know, you give Coach Bo Davis an opportunity to go through a transfer cycle, which the transfer portal just opens this week, and then allow him to, you know, develop the guys that's there, and I think that group over time will get better throughout this season.
It's interesting in that you're saying there's a lot of learning to that, and especially on that side of the football. I thought it was key because Harold Perkins Jr., right? A lot has been made the last 2 weeks about going back to the middle, trying to learn that. The coach is confident that he's going to be able to do that. He spoke last week, said he's confident he's going to be able to do that. What were you able to kind of look at or see just from him or here this spring with how he's going with his learning process?
I think Harold Perkins is a little more comfortable at that middle linebacker position, and it does help that Coach Blake, the defensive coordinator, that's the area he coaches in. So he's able to get him comfortable for that. I think, you know, last year, I think what Harold Perkins was really trying to do was get people to, or get himself and, you know, to prepare himself for the next level, for them to see him as a multi-use player. What we liked about Harold Perkins so much, and what we really fell in love with Harold Perkins is his ability to be anywhere and rush the quarterback. Like, that's still, to me, the number one quality in Harold Perkins, his ability to affect the ball. But working with Coach Blake, and you can see it in the summer, he's flying, I mean, in the spring ball, you saw him flying around and making plays, and just he looks more comfortable at that linebacker position, but that helps to shoot the deep coordinators and main coach.
I think one of the things that stood out, or that I was looking to see if it stood out more than anything else, is I guess no news is good news. And what I mean by that, Marlon, is I really can't find a story about Garrett Nussmeier. And what I mean by that is, other than the one time he spoke in spring ball about his process and how things were going, but it's been quiet on that front. And what I mean by that, like, no news is good news, is you would probably have heard something or rather if he hadn't had a good spring. Does that make sense? I guess what I'm trying to say is, since I haven't heard that he's had a bad spring, I guess it's not a bad spring. That makes any sense.
Doug, that makes all the sense in the world. I think, and I'm saying this boldly, I will really put this kid as a dark horse candidate for Heisman. And the reason I say that is because of the system. One thing I admire about Coach Stallone and Coach Hankton, these guys don't mind throwing the ball. Now, LSU running game is alive, but watching Nussmeier this weekend at the spring game, I see a kid that is A, confident, B, knows how to manipulate the pocket. He has that pocket poise that you want to see in a really good college quarterback. There was one play where he got flushed towards the middle of the pocket. He had an opportunity to run. If that was Jay was taking that one for 50 burger. But he squared his shoulders and threw it to a wide open. I want to say that was West Bank's very own Davion Thomas for a touchdown. You know, that's another kid that stood out in the special team that has that Skylar Green type ability and making plays back there. So I think when you look at Gary Nussmeier, you have again. We interviewed him after. We're going to run it later on
right
this week on the show. We talk to him, and he's confident in the group of receivers he has. So I think that you got a kid that's ready to roll and compete in the SEC.
What about the backfield, sir? It feels like it's been a little bit since the Tigers have had a stable of NFL running backs. And that was something else that Matt pointed out after looking at the scrimmage. He thinks it's probably going to be as good as it's been back there. Is he wrong on that?
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing about the running backs. Coach Frank is a motivator, and that's the position he coaches aside from being an assistant head coach. He has those guys ready. But Caleb Jackson, you see a little bit of Adrian Peterson in his running, but he does show flashes of Darius Geis. Not being afraid to lower the shoulder. I'm not saying, I mean, we saw that one little flash of Leonard Fournette last year when he, like, lowered that shoulder, but offensive line, really good. Not taking anything from him. That kid is good. I think even with a developing offensive line, he would be okay. But what I said is when he scored that clean touchdown right up the middle, and you saw that burst of speed, you're like, yeah, LSU's running back core headed in the right direction. So I do think we might take a peek at the portal just to kind of thicken our things up in that group, like we need to do with the D-line. But it's in good hands coaching with Coach Frank, another West Bank product. Hello. And then also the confidence in Caleb Jackson and that speed, a burst of speed and strength is going to be something big for that running game this year.
Yeah. What about the secondary, sir? Because obviously I got to the D-line, linebackers, a little bit with Perkins there as well. But secondary was always a concern in terms of numbers and depth and just players that had some experience in there.
Yeah, with the secondary, it's those guys back. I mean, that first group with Nussmeier, I mean, it was a couple of times where, I mean, Kyrie Lacy has that speed. He's a good route runner. You look at him as number one. T.J. Daniels caught a really nice back shoulder, too. It was one play in particular, and this kid did good. The entire scrimmage, you could tell, was a blown coverage. LSU last year ran a lot of quarters. They did some three. But I think this was a situation between Ashton and Sage Ryan where I saw it looked like it was a miscommunication. Like, because Ashton had, I want to say that was that? It was Chris Hilton. Had him man-to-man all the way up into that second level, and then he would play the flat. So it looked like it was some confusion, and Sage Ryan was supposed to have it over the top. So it was a big play. So outside of that, you know, I talked to Coach Corey Raymond shortly after the scrimmage, and he's confident. He's excited to work with these guys. They have a whole summer to get better. But overall, you do have a group of defensive backs that has the playing experience now. They played last year in the game against the last year of the Saban era and was able to go against some very crafty receivers and good quarterbacks. So I think that group is going to be okay, especially with the leadership of Corey Raymond.
Okay, I like that. I like how that works. Marlon, you know the NFL draft is next week, huh? Can you believe that?
Gus, oh man, the 25th? Wow, it's the 5th, dog. Time fly, clip his wings. This next Thursday, it kicks off. Wow.
I've never heard that phrase. I like that. Time flies, clip its wings, because I felt that way yesterday. And, Marlon, if you go look my social pages, I posted some photos. Carver went to work with me yesterday. And, dude, I looked at him like, when did you grow up so fast? So I love that. Time flies, clip its wings. That's a good one, Marlon. I like that. Okay. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Hello.
All right. Well, like I said, I would love to tell you time and place. But, I mean, I have a place and I have a time. It's simple. If there's no Pels game next Thursday, we'll be doing a draft show. If there's a Pels game next Thursday, I can't do a draft show. So I mean, they got to win tomorrow, so then that way we'll know that they'll play the Nuggets and we can get a playoff schedule and know when they play and when they don't play, Marlon. But the plan is if there's no playoff game next Thursday, sir, looking forward to having you be a part of our draft coverage.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do it big, man. And, you know, we got the show running from 6 to 8, so we'll be able to catch the pre. We're going to do a pre and during show.
Yeah.
While we're rolling this year.
That is true.
I love it.
All right, my man. We will talk to you soon. Thank you so much. At Big Fave 504 is the way to give Marlon a follow. And don't forget, Inside the Trenches, YouTube, and right here on ESPN New Orleans, including tonight, coming up at 6 to 8. Thank you, man. Appreciate the time. Quick break. We come back. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome to Noack Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop kayak and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to.
Locked On Pels. We'll get a chance to come hang out with him if you would like here tonight, as he will do his Locked On Pelicans podcast live over there at Mid City Yacht Club, a fantastic location. Pels fans love that area there in Mid City. Sir, how are you today, Jake?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops here, Gus.
Yes. I want to get to it. I really honestly do. And I just saw this posted right in front of me. And it's from NBA Central and a couple other places here as well that are posted. Sam Quinn, who covers the Lakers, you know, he says, if you love basketball and have the chance to see LeBron James in a postseason game for $39, you should really do it. Get in prices via TickPick. Warriors Kings, $212. Hawks Bulls, $58. Heat 76ers, $50. You can get a ticket to the Lakers Pels game for $39. Which you can do that today at Shoot Around. Trey Murphy asked by a Daniels.
So y'all show up to Smoothie King tomorrow, please. 6:30. All right, thank you.
That is Trey Murphy telling people to come to the game. This team was one win from 50. Why does it feel like they won 20 games?
You know, part of it is where they finished, right? They're in the play-in tournament. And when we kind of looked at goals to start this season, you know, our expectations for the team was there's enough talent here to not be in the play-in tournament. And you got healthy seasons from Zion Williamson, who's played more games in his career this season than he ever has before. You have Brandon Ingram, who's played more games other than his rookie year. This team was relatively healthy, and now they're in a do-or-die play-in tournament situation. They couldn't even hold on to the sixth seed, and it just feels disappointing. I do think some of that is a little bit of recency bias. We're kind of responding to the latest loss from where they were and not necessarily looking at the whole course of the season. But I do think that's part of it, that this certainly wasn't how the season was supposed to go. Now, part of it is the Western Conference is tough, right? They, with 49 wins, one away from 50, as you said, they would have been the third seed in the Eastern Conference. They would have been third in the Western Conference last year. The West is just loaded and stacked, but still feels like this should have been better. And when you look at that Lakers loss on Sunday in particular, it reminded you a lot of the in-season tournament loss, where they lost by 44 points, and you saw the Lakers kind of do the same thing to the Pelicans in that one. So it feels like there's a lack of growth, even though there has been a lot of growth on this team. And getting to 49 wins, Willie Green improving the win total every single year is something that should be celebrated a little bit.
All right, so let's take a look at what happened yesterday here. Look, you could say third game in 4 days, Jake, for the Pels, second game in 5 days for L.A. Maybe they were a little bit better rested. That might have something to do with it. Matchups, when you look at the four games this season against the Lakers, none of them really close. Why is it not like that matchup-wise? Or was it yesterday just something completely different where they had a really good game plan offensively and defensively, and the Pels maybe either weren't ready for it, weren't prepared, or couldn't adjust to it?
You know, I think when I look at these two teams, the Lakers have won the season series 3-1, and, you know, I just think the Lakers are a poor matchup for the Pelicans. You know, I don't know if it's so much coaching because, look, as much as Pelicans fans, you know, might be frustrated with Willie Green at times, Lakers fans hate Darvin Ham, their head coach, even more, I think. I think it's just, it's a rough matchup. You have LeBron James and Anthony Davis who can do a good job of containing Zion Williamson and limiting what the Pelicans want to try and do offensively. They also don't have rim protection on this team here in New Orleans, and the center position has at times been a bit of a problem for them this season. And you saw LeBron James just getting into the paint at will and then kicking the ball out. You know, he was scoring, kind of breaking down the team's defense, dumping the ball off to a guy in the dunker spot or a baseline cutter right below the basket. And it's why the Lakers won points in the paint in the first half, 50-12. And it's also why LeBron James had 13 assists going into the half, you know, where the game was fundamentally over at that point in time. So, you know, it's just they don't really have counters or answers to what the Los Angeles Lakers want to do. And, you know, one thing we've seen, the team can come up with a good game plan on a quick turnaround and win some games and beat some teams, looking at like the Phoenix Suns' most recent win that the Pelicans had over them from, you know, a week before losing to them pretty badly. So the coaching staff can kind of try and figure some things out, but this is definitely going to be an uphill battle for the Pelicans, I think.
All right, Willie Green just texted me. He says, please ask Jake Madison, how do I stop them from attacking the paint? Jake, Willie needs your help. How do we stop that tomorrow?
You know, that's where this is kind of a little bit of a chess match, right? You need to put more pressure at that point of attack, and LeBron James is their point guard. He's going to be the guy that's trying to get downhill. So do you put a guy like Herb Jones on him? But LeBron has a big strength advantage when it comes to that sort of thing, and he can move Herb Jones around a little bit. So maybe that's not the way to go, and you need to try it with Dyson Daniels. But if you do put Herb Jones on him, you need someone to contain D'Angelo Russell, who has lit up New Orleans, averaging in the three games he's played against the Pelicans this season, 21 points, making multiple three-point attempts in all of those games. You know, it's trying to kind of find the right balance of guys. They still are going to need to be able to score, too, so it's about making sure you have off-ball movement and not just going with an all-defensive lineup out there, because that's going to hurt you on the other end. I think when you look at this matchup, you know, one area that New Orleans can really control, that's the turnovers. I think they had 19 on Sunday against the Los Angeles Lakers that the Lakers then got out. And look, they're not an amazing half-court team. They're not a bad half-court team. They've gotten better as the season's gone on, but they are a deadly transition team. And when you turn the ball over 19 times, teams are going to get out and run against you. And that really put New Orleans in the hole early on. That kind of added to that points in the paint discrepancy between the two teams as well. So I think, you know, if you're looking for them to kind of like turn things around, limit some of the scoring for the Los Angeles Lakers, limit some of the points in the paint for the Lakers, it starts on offense with not turning the ball over and making sure that there's enough ball movement to keep things kind of, you know, flowing freely and not making a lot of unforced errors. I think you saw in that game, a lot of guys just kind of like dribbled the ball off their foot. I don't know whether that was like the moment was kind of too big for them, but you kind of had those backcourt turnovers where no one can get back and slow those type of scoring opportunities down. So I think everything kind of starts there, and then hopefully the rest of it just falls into place. And maybe that means you limit LeBron James a little bit because you're not just giving him easy points in transition.
It's really nuts when you look at, I guess, some of the things that come across my phone, because now James Borrego's asking, how do we free up Zion and CJ? Because you saw LeBron take him, you saw AD take him, CJ looked like he was being face guarded. How James Borrego wants to know how to open up the offense.
So that's where, you know, I just recorded a show with our Locked On Lakers host where we were talking about this, and it feels like this isn't a game that they should try and force feed Zion early. You're going to need other guys to hit shots. The Los Angeles Lakers play a lot of drop coverage. So they're sagging their big men back. They're trying to take away the paint that way. That means you can shoot over the top of that. We've seen CJ McCollum do a very good job of that, most recently against the Phoenix Suns. You know, they ran Yusuf Nurkic in drop coverage, and then he just was wide open from three and started making them, and that opens the game up. So if he can make some threes, if Trey Murphy can make some threes, if, you know, Brandon Ingram is maybe not on a minutes restriction and is getting to his spots and just simply making shots from wherever, I think if those guys get going early, you can close the game out with Zion late. Think of it like a power running game once you have the lead in football a little bit. And I think that's the way you've got to try and kind of counter this team. I think it's everyone else early, maybe Zion Williamson late, because they're going to sell out to stop him like they did on Sunday. You had LeBron James guarding Zion Williamson, and LeBron is strong. He's got good length, and that gives Zion Williamson some trouble. But even if he was able to get by LeBron, there's Anthony Davis camped out in the paint just waiting for him, and that's someone that we know is an excellent interior defender. If you just try and go at that, you're going to run into poor results. It's going to lead to turnovers. It's going to lead to missed shots. They're running in transition and scoring against you easily. I think you need to get a guy like Trey Murphy going, CJ McCollum going, Brandon Ingram going early on. If they start making some shots, I think that's going to open things up for Zion. And when you notice those opportunities are there, that's when you've got to make sure that you get him the ball. And that's when you can really start to push ahead, I think.
I think when you look at where they are this week, right, too, Jake? And, I mean, look, you just talked about some adjustments and things they can do. I do think you're going to see a little better effort tomorrow. Maybe that fatigue has something to do with it, with that start there. You got a chance to maybe look at it and talk about it at practice today and kind of expect with it. But at the end of the day, I think guys just got to step up it and take it to that next level, huh?
I mean, part of it's that, right? You know, we can talk about adjustments and the coaching chess matchup and all this, but, you know, Zion felt like he was a non-factor in that game for the most part. And this game reminded you a lot of the in-season tournament where he was a non-factor as well. And maybe that just has to do with the matchup. But at the same point, this is a guy that was pushing for an all-NBA team, you know, and potentially could still get on there. He needs to lead you, and he needs to go out, and he needs to score, and he needs to play well. Yeah. And sometimes it's just trying to kind of draw the fouls, right? Sell that contact more that he's talked a little bit about. But he's got to be the guy that's going to step up for you and carry this team. And I think that's the most important thing. It comes down to your star players. So finding ways to get C.J. McCollum going, finding ways to get Brandon Ingram going, and then Zion Williamson. But then they've got to make their shots. Zion went with a lot of that mid-range jumper that he's been working on and has broken out recently. He missed him, right? You know, before that, he'd been making some of those shots. It's certainly still a work in progress, but you've got to make those. Simple as that. If that's the shot they're going to give you, you have to make it, and it just comes down to that. Sometimes it's as simple as saying it's a make-or-miss league, even if that's a cliche.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's what Zion had to say specifically, literally, what Jake Madison just said.
I think I was just being too passive, if I'm being honest. I don't think I was super aggressive the whole game. And like I said, when I go back and watch film, I'll be able to break it down more.
All right. So, look, you got two chances, bottom line, Jake, to get in. You can either be the 7 seed or you can be the 8 seed. So you do still have two chances. They both are at home, though. And we've seen this team unable to really kind of shoot like they did on the home and road. I have a suggestion for them. You know football teams, what they do, right? Before home games, they stay in a hotel. What about this team staying in a hotel the night before the game?
You know, at this point, anything that you think might help is something that they should do, because the road-home differential for this team is very, very strange. You know, this might be, maybe the Pelicans should have people wearing yellow or something like that in the arena to make it feel like you're playing in the crypto arena or whatever, wherever the Lakers play. Like, that might be the move, something like that. It's, you know, the splits there are different, but if there was ever a time to kind of make a statement on your home court, it's right. going to be in this game or, you know, potentially, since you kind of have like a mulligan here the next game, though I don't think that's a smart way to go about. And I think you're going to see both teams really trying to win this game and get in, even if that means a date with the Denver Nuggets, a team no one wants to play right now. But you look, if there was ever a time to kind of show growth that you figured certain things out, it's this game. You know, in a do or die situation in front of your home court with a very passionate fan base that you know is going to show up for this game. It's going to be loud in there. It's going to be a very intense atmosphere in the Smoothie King Center. Yes, you have in your back pocket that you've got another game against maybe a more beatable teams. You don't want to go that route, right? Because that can really burn you later if someone misses a game for whatever reason. So hopefully they just get it done Tuesday night. But it's certainly going to be intense there. Today feels a little bit intense just talking about it, I think, let alone what things are going to feel like tomorrow night in the Smoothie King Center with all this. But we wanted, you know, I think the biggest thing here is we wanted to see Zion Williamson in a big game. You know, when I was talking to our Lakers host, you know, there's kind of a mini narrative that maybe Zion Williamson doesn't show up in the biggest games, right? But he hasn't had a chance to play in very many big games. This is his first postseason game. He has not played in the postseason for the team, in the playoffs, or any of the in-season tournament games. This is his first chance to kind of go out on one of these biggest stages. He had the in-season tournament earlier on in the year where he really had a poor game. This is a chance for kind of redemption to, you know, change the narrative and chart the course for his career that he wants, and hopefully he's up for that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, at the end of the day, I think the Western Conference is harder, and, you know, look, it is what it is. You were in fourth. You didn't finish off. You had untimely injuries. You didn't do well in your homestand. But to your point, no one's going to remember that if you beat the Lakers tomorrow, go up there. And, I'm one of the few people think you play Denver pretty decent. So let's see what happens. I know they're playing a lot better now and things of that nature, but you go up there, and now you're in that first round, it'll feel different. If you have to wait till that Friday, Jake, it's just – there's going to be so much pressure on that team on Friday. You can just feel it. You can feel it now.
Oh, absolutely, right? Like, that's why you want to get this game. Go back a couple of years when the Pelicans made it out of the in-season tournament where they went on the road and beat the Los Angeles Clippers. Paul George was ruled out with COVID. If he plays in that game, does New Orleans win? I'm not sure. And certainly the Clippers were very disappointed to not make the playoffs in that case. You can't leave it up to chance like that, you know? You don't know what can happen in a one-game win or go home, and that's not the case for New Orleans in this one. That would be the case in the next game on Thursday, should they end up kind of playing at home again against either the Kings or the Golden State Warriors. You don't want someone to get sick. You don't want something to happen, right, where all of a sudden now you're missing one of your key players, and you thought you would be able to win this game because whatever, the Lakers, they're a bad matchup. You can't risk it. You got to take care of business tomorrow night.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. As always, man, appreciate the time. Tell people what you're doing tonight, sir.
live in-person episode of Locked On Pelicans over at Mid-City Yacht Club at the Pels 12. So come on out. We're going to record the show in person and do a live Q&A out there after 7 p.m. at Mid-City Yacht Club.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
For sure. And Noel Jake, the way to give a follow over there. Next, final segment next on ESPN New Orleans. Go. 800-998-1003 in the Rudiman Can. Caller and guest hotline, Pels, Lakers tomorrow, 6:30. Warriors and Kings coming up at 9 o'clock afterwards. As we mentioned, the WNBA draft is today. And we played earlier Angel Reese, what she had to say about the opportunity to go on and play in a WNBA.
What are you the most excited about for this next chapter?
Just a breath of fresh air. I know I've worked so hard to get to where I am right now, and everything that I've been through throughout my whole college career, from injuries and adversity, traveling and having to transfer. Coming into the WNBA, I wanted to be able to be me and be the player that I was basically coming out of high school. I was the number one wing out of high school, so as you know, I have ball handling skills and a great passing ability, so being able to showcase that more, I know what I can do and be confident within myself, so I'm just excited.
One of the things that I thought was interesting, too, that I heard, and look, Caitlin Clark expected to go number one in the draft. And one of the things that I saw this morning that was talked about, Victor Wembanyama was at an impact with the Spurs. You saw them. I mean, they were selling out games. They're dead last in the West. And their last home game was sold out. I mean, you just, now again, obviously it's the Spurs, that fan base. I get it. One of the things that I saw this morning, though, was somebody said that they thought that Caitlin Clark was going to bring that kind of fever, I guess, to women's basketball. And if she would impact it, and a handful of players or former players and analysts were talking about this here as well. And here's just one of those in the comments here that had to say it.
This is the most important quote unquote off-season transition to the new season that the WNBA has had. Mind you, the WNBA is only 28 years old. So if you look at where the NBA was in 28 years, they were looking for leaps. And then they got Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. Not saying that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, but you're seeing a similar trajectory of star power that matters in the echelon of the women's basketball overall.
So I think it's interesting from this standpoint. Are you going to watch the WNBA this season because of, obviously, if you're a Tiger fan, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, are you going to pay attention to it? Are you going to watch it? Andrea Carter from ESPN also adds this, that she thinks the TV ratings will go up because of just those two players as well.
How many times all season were people like, get the Spurs off TV? Why are we watching the Spurs? You're watching the Spurs because of Wimby. Yeah. That's the same thing with Indiana. We don't even know how Caitlin's going to play. We all think she's going to be great. Mm-hmm. They're already scheduled to be on TV because people are going to tune in to watch Caitlin. It's going to help the numbers. It's going to help the ratings. It's going to benefit the league. Because think about it. People are tuning in either to cheer her on, anticipating her to be successful, or to see if she's going to...
She's going to fail. That's what she was saying from that aspect, which I thought was interesting to that. And look, it's just not obviously the crew that is covering the WNBA draft there as well. But Screamin' A had this to say about Angel Reese.
Listen, I'm a fan of Angel Reese. I'm just concerned because when we talk about Caitlin, we know she can shoot. So that's the ultimate fact. You know, she could pull up from the logo. With Angel Reese, all right, I'm looking at your health. I'm looking at her legs. I'm looking at the spring in her step. She going to need that on the next level now. I mean, I was at the championship game for the WNBA. I saw the Aces. Asia Wilson, she's big time. That's who Angel Reese is going to have to go up against. So remember, what we're saying about Caitlin, again, the IQ, and Angel Reese definitely has the IQ, but the IQ is one thing. The shooting ability is another. That is not Angel Reese's game. And there's some sisters waiting in the WNBA that's going to have something to say about her success, too, now.
By the way, final thing I want to play for you, Evan Cohen, on the 1-2 and the 3 seeds in the West.
I'm not saying it's likely, but it is not crazy, Smalls, that the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in the Western Conference all lose in the first round. If LeBron James beats Jokic in the first round, that's that surprising? Western Conference would have to be Lakers would beat the Pelicans and play the Nuggets. So, and then the winner of the Kings and the Warriors would have to be the Warriors for me. Then they beat the Pelicans, and you'd have the Thunder and the Warriors in the first round. Is it that crazy to think the Warriors could win that? To me, no. You'd have the Nuggets and the Lakers in the second and the first round. I could see the Lakers potentially winning. And Phoenix beating Minnesota is not that crazy at all.
There it is. Hey, thanks for tuning us in. We'll see you tomorrow. Matt Muscoda after further review is up next on ESPN New Orleans.